Welcome to More to Come, PW Comics World's semi-regular podcast of comics and graphic novel news, recorded via Zoom from around the world. I'm Heidi McDonald. I am the editor-in-chief of The Beat at comicsbeat.com, the publisher of K Comics Beat at kcomicsbeat.com, and also a contributing editor to Publishers Weekly, lest we forget. And you can find us on Blue Sky at pwcomicsworld.bsky.social.
And I'm Kate Fitzsimmons. I'm the podcast producer, and you can find us online on Tumblr at PW Comics World, and you can also find us at publishersweekly.com/comics.
Yes, and at Facebook, you can also find us at PW Comics World. In fact, you can find us on most social media platforms at PW Comics World. And you could also subscribe to PW Comics World on some of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also leave us a message or a rating if you happen to be a subscriber, because we love to hear from our listeners.
I'm thinking, Heidi, that this podcast is going to need one of those link cards where we can just give them one address and it'll be really easy to find.
Well, we should do the links on our YouTube. You can now watch us on P not on PW Comics World, on Publishers Weekly's YouTube channel. That's right, we are now video, so you might actually be watching Kate and I from our various locales. But yes, we've gone video, and the world will never be the same. So
It's
check
still
us
in an
out.
experimental phase. Be patient with us. The upload schedule's
Yes.
not as quite as good as it is with the audio right now. And we're getting there. It's
We're
an experiment.
getting there, but it's a whole new workflow for Kate and I. And we are, listen, we are doing this podcast. We are continuing on to the podcast. And enjoy doing it. I love seeing Kate. I mean, I miss Calvin. I think that didn't we say last time we miss Calvin, but
Yes.
he's off living his best life.
Heidi makes it sound like we've sent him out to pasture. You will hear from him again. He's just most of the time living his life instead of being dragged into the salt mines of comics content.
Yes, exactly. So, anyway, but yes, this week on More to Come. See, that I don't do the topic list like Calvin did. I guess I should pay more attention. This week on More to Come, we talk about Comics Pro, the annual retailer meeting, which I just got back from. I also went to Toy Fair, and I also went to the Jack Kirby exhibit at the Skirball Museum, and we'll have the latest in the manga versus Pirate Saga, and all sorts of other news, packed announcements, team ups, you name it, speculation, collection. It was a busy week in comics.
It sure was. So, Heidi, Comics Pro. One, please tell our listeners what Comics Pro is. And two, what were you doing there?
Right, so Comics Pro is a nonprofit organization for comics retailers. I guess it's been around, I mean, I want to say 20 years, but I in one form or another, but they have an annual meeting, and without Diamond and their retailer summit around, this is the meeting for publishers and retailers to come together. But that said, the Comics Pro meeting has been the meeting for well over a decade. I've always heard tremendous, tremendous things about it, just in terms of how positive and like proactive it is. But the press was not allowed to attend. But starting in 2024, they were. So as soon as I heard that, I was, on a plane to Pittsburgh. So this year I went, and not only did I go, but there was several other members of the press. There was our colleague Bridget Alverson, who sometimes writes for PW, and David Harper of Sketch, Tiffany Babb of the New Comic Staple was there, as well as Chris Arendt of Popverse, a former PW Comics World contributor way back in the day. So we had all the best press people there, and I'm very excited about it because the world needs to know. The world needs to know about Comics Pro.
So what new scoops, what new news, what really stuck out to you as like the big story of the con or
Well, there was no one
connect?
huge story except that I do have a story up on PW under, and you'll find it under news/comics about Comics Pro, where I kind of rounded up the top stories. And I mean, you could have so many different headlines from Comics Pro because it just everyone was there. All the publishers were there. All the business people were there. All the consultants were there. The funny thing is that there's not that many retailers that attend. There's like maybe 200 retailers, but I'm not sure how many stores that they represent. But it's maybe 100, more than 100, but it's
So
not
who
like,
else is there?
hundreds. Among who?
No, okay, so if there's only 200 retailers, and
Yes.
theoretically it's for retailers, who else
Yes.
is there?
Well, the publishers go. All the publishers go. All the marketing people go. This year, they bring out special guests. This year, they brought out a lot of special guests. Robert Kirkman, the creator of Walking Dead and Invincible, co-creator, and chairman of Skybound, was the keynote speaker. Jim Lee came out to introduce Frank Miller and Klaus Janson. And Todd McFarlane was signing. Rob Liefeld was hanging around just to so he could wouldn't be left out. And so there's pretty big star power this time. And what was very interesting is also is that just so many local creators. I mean, it's Los Angeles, so there's tons and tons of creative people around there, and some of them just kind of sneak in. But they had to discourage that this year because space is at a premium. So, but they had like an indie creator showcase on one of the nights. But like Matthew Rosenberg is there, James Tynion was there, Hannah Mae Rose was there, Patrick Horvath was there. And then at the parties, like all the locals were there. I didn't even see them all. Like I heard they were all at there's this brewery in LA where they hold all the parties, and it's because it's huge. It's really great because I hate to be jostled, right? So at a party anyway. So yeah, everybody showed up. I think the problem with Comics Pro is making sure too many people don't show up and it doesn't get overcrowded, to be honest.
It's really quite the opposite of the usual comics event thing, where of trying to get more people to come.
Yes, very much so. Although I think it would be, I think everybody agrees that there should be more retailers there. And because the way it is, it's almost one to one. Like there's almost one publishing industry professional to one retailer. And, I mean, that's fantastic for the retailers
I
who are
mean, it's
there.
great if you're a
But
retailer, but frustrating if you're a
yes.
publishing professional.
Yes, exactly. So, but a lot of ancillary people, or not say ancillary, a lot of it really is a business conference for the comics industry. Like Kuyu Liang, the consultant, was there. Milton Greep, who runs ICV2, was there. Kenny Myers of Sweet Sweet, which is a new upcoming digital comics platform, was there. I mean, so many people just dropped by for meetings. I at one point I was like, I should just take photos of every table in the bar, and then a year from now we'll see. So anyway, that's the social scene. But you asked what the big story was. I think the big story is just what a great year comics had in 2025. And last year, Diamond was kind of still hanging around, but it was like, oh, it's business as usual. Don't worry, ha-ha, it's business as usual. Well, as we now know, it was not business as usual.
Well, I mean, but I guess the story is it is business as usual for the comics world, just not for Diamond. Like, the comics,
Yes.
they are still coming out. Diamond is not.
Yeah. And I mean, what's really funny is how many people I talk to who are like, oh yeah, we had to write off $60,000 in debt or more, and they were okay with it. I mean, they weren't thrilled, but
But they were surviving.
they were surviving, and it wasn't like the first thing out of their mouth was like, oh my God, Diamond, killed us. I mean, that happened to a few companies. Oh, so another story, what like for my piece in PW, there was a lot I could not squeeze in. So I can talk about that a little bit. But one of the things that I did talk about that's really incredible is how many publishers were talking about, book publishers were talking about how much money they were making in the direct market. And in my article, I quote Jack Cohen of Abrams. She says that once they went to Lunar for distribution into comic shops, their sales went up so much. Their CEO was like, oh, wow, this is really important. And then, I mean, Boom, which is owned by PRH. I mean, they are taking on more and more publishers. They just added D&Q and Oni a few, couple of weeks ago. But you know, the mood was that it was it like comic shop sales are becoming a very significant for all these graphic novel imprints. It's not just bookstores and Amazon anymore.
Yeah, and actually, there was a story that just came out in ICV2 that it's not just comics that are doing well in comic shops. It's manga. That, here, I want to be sure to get my language correct. Kodansha had its best year ever in comic shops. Let's see. Overall, manga sales went up 10% over the last year, but Kodansha sales were three times faster. So I'm really happy for them because I know that manga, despite the fact of a huge crossover in their fans, has had some trouble getting significant sales out of comic shops. So this is really
Well,
great.
there's a not a lot of adoption. Well, the other big kind of soft news that came out of Comics Pro, which was just very much alluded to by Christina Merkler, the head of Lunar Distribution, was that they would be carrying Yen and Viz. Now, we don't know exactly when that will be because they need to build a warehouse that's big enough to hold the output of Yen and Viz. However, I talked to several industry insiders. And they confirmed this, and it's very much what you were just saying, okay? That, I mean, for instance, Yen is distributed by Hachette, okay? The one of the big book distributors. And if you're a comics retailer, you get all these calendars, and you, of course, you want to get, some of the great Yen titles that come out of Yen, which are escaping me. I'm sure you could think of some, but basically, once they got out of the Hachette catalog and into the Lunar catalog, which I think is probably what happened with Kodansha, although they're at PRH, okay. Once they got into this separate targeted catalog that goes to comic shops, retailers were able to find their products a lot easier, and their sales went up. And I heard that
Yeah,
over
because
and
they're
over
not going
again.
to go digging around usually into the other parts of the catalog.
Right. So, well, it's just, I mean, you have a pile of things on your desk
You have a
and
lot
you're
to do.
like, I mean, they're not, I mean, it's tabs open in your browser, but I
But I
mean,
mean,
just
it's
the
the
theory.
equivalent. It's like there's, even with digital, sometimes it's worse because the discoverability is not as easy. You can't just like flip, flip.
Yeah. So I mean, I just heard this over and over again that once a publishers went to, and I'll be honest about it. Once they went to Lunar, their visibility to comic shops increased and their sales went up. So, and a lot of strain on Lunar because everybody wants to be there. And, but great news for everybody else, really. The system is working. How did that
Well, I
happen?
mean, if you've got to have a problem, it's better to have everybody want to use your service than to have nobody want to use your service. I mean, it says that they're
Yeah.
running a tight ship, they're doing it right.
Yeah, but they do have warehouse problems. They need a bigger
Well,
warehouse. And
right, growing pains.
Christina's been talking about getting a bigger warehouse for quite a while. So that's the next step. That's the next step of the journey. Just following up on, PRH. I mean, they're the world's biggest. Well, not the world's biggest, but they're one of the biggest book distributors out there. So, that battleship is plowing through the water, no problem. Tyne Hunter is running it, and she does a fabulous job. So, very good news. Now, the one little mystery on the horizon is really Universal entering the market. So I think they are trying to enter the market, and I am hearing that there's a bit of slow adoption of, retailers going with them just because they kind of have Lunar and PRH, so they're not necessarily needing this third one. So, but I do think
They
give
have
it
to make a
time. They
case
have
for
to,
themselves.
they do, and they have to offer something. I talked to one retailer, and who hasn't been a huge fan of Lunar just because they're owned by a competitor, and they are not yet ordering from Universal because Universal's not giving them, a deal that they can't turn down. So I think in a year's time we'll see some change there. I think we'll see another healthy distributor, and that will be great. But definitely.
Do you think it's the equivalent of people not wanting to subscribe to a new subscription service in the hopes that they'll have a good deal available soon for new customers?
What do you mean? I'm not quite
I
sure
mean,
what you mean.
sometimes if you want to subscribe to some kind of subscription service or even a cable company,
Okay.
sometimes people hold off starting a new account until there's a sweet
Right,
deal
right, right,
available.
right, right. I mean, I'm not enough of an expert on discounts and shipping fees to know what might be offered via Universal, but I think you're probably onto something there. I think your instincts are correct. So that's probably why people are holding off. But they're a very large co I mean, it's not like they're like Universal is a huge distributor in Canada, so they're going to be fine. And the other thing that they said that really cracked me up was that, well, not cracked me up, I mean,
Amused
I had
you.
a knowing, I had a, yes, amused me, was that they said they finally finished updating the software from Alliance Games.
I did not realize just how ancient the old Diamond software was. I mean, I'm not saying that had something to do with the downfall of Diamond, but I'm not saying it didn't.
Well, I don't think, I think if you do say it has something to do with the downfall of Diamond, you would be 100 billion% correct, Kate. So now,
It was downfall adjacent, let's put it that way.
yes. Oh yeah, but I mean, it's definitely one of the major problems that Diamond had was that they didn't invest in their business. Okay, like yes, they built a beautiful, or they rented a beautiful new warehouse. Yes, and that was a huge investment, but other than that, they didn't. And you can't,
And they were set in their ways.
I mean, look at us. We're modernizing. We're on YouTube now.
Yeah, I mean, if our software dies, we find a new one. Life finds a way. If you want it to. If you're fossilized, then you just go, what am I gonna do? I still have to use the same crappy computer program because it would be a pain in the butt to change.
Yes. So let's see what else happened. I'm looking at, I think they did put some of my extra notes into the story.
Yeah,
Okay,
Heidi,
so you.
listeners, for every word you see in an article, there are plenty more that get written that just don't have room.
Well, not necessarily. Not all the time. Usually they go in, but in this case, it was going into print, so I had to be pretty tight. But Kate, what excited you from Comics Pro? There was a lot of
Okay,
DC
this
announcements.
one's gonna be shallow, guys, but I'm gonna give you a little peek behind the curtain. Long, long ago, when I had my job interview with Calvin and Heidi, they asked, what comics do you like? And among others, I mentioned Birds of Prey. Original recipe Birds of Prey, pre-New 52. Yes, the wheelchair. Anyway, so I don't think I'm alone in feeling that Barbara Gordon is a great character who hasn't gotten the kind of attention she deserves lately from DC, just because they've got a lot of things going on. But Barbara Gordon, Deadman, and Teen Titans are all getting their own next level titles coming out from DC. And that's great because if you're putting the investment in putting it into your new premier line, that means you're going to give these characters some love. You're going to give them some attention. And I'm psyched. Also, I think the idea of DC's Bad Seeds storyline is great, but for various weird reasons I can't read it. So they're going to have like a Gotham event where Poison Ivy teams up with Vandal Savage. And I think that's a great idea. But I have a plant monster problem. If you've got to have a phobia, it better be of something that doesn't exist. So, thanks to my plant monster issues, I shall not be reading it, but I do think it's a good idea.
Right. Yeah. No, it sounds exciting. And Next Level's been very successful for DC. I mean, they're having huge, 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 huge success with the Absolute line, but Next Level is landing, KO is landing. Oh, Vertigo. You know, look, we've talked on here many times about Vertigo, the
And our
many
deep love for
relaunches,
Vertigo.
our love for Vertigo, but the many relaunches of Vertigo. They have relaunched so many times to no effect. And this time it's selling out and people love it, you know? And honestly, I talked a little bit to a DC insider about this, just, you know, congratulating them on the success. And you know, it's good timing. It's good timing all around. Absolute is doing really well. We have this influx of new young readers who are looking for books to read, and Vertigo is landing in that correct spot. And
Yeah.
also,
And
you know, it's been away for about 6 years.
yeah,
So
so it could have a proper relaunch, not just a we're going to slap a new badge on the cover and people are like, what's the deal? But I think there's something about Vertigo that makes it, well, I know what the, there are a couple things about Vertigo that make it especially accessible to new readers, to new fans. Part of it is that it's not part of a giant shared world. Which the giant shared world of Marvel and DC are is a benefit, but can also make barrier for entry higher. And Vertigo just has a distinct, quirky, noirish vibe that just hits a sweet spot in the brain of many geeks, including myself.
it does.
And
And you know,
there's room for it, and I'm glad to see it back.
there is. And you know, the same editor is behind both Absolute and Vertigo, which is namely Chris Conroy, who I have never met. I actually did get to meet him at Comics Pro, which is very cool. We had a you know, just hi, it's nice to meet you. And I mean, plaudits to him. I mean, he's behind two incredibly successful lines. And you know, one does not simply relaunch Vertigo into comic shops.
One
You know,
can, but one should not.
yes. We've seen what happens when, you know, I listen, it's landing. And that's really, to me, a lot of, I mean, that's just the big story. New readers. We have new readers. I guess they came from TikTok. I mean, it's the thing is, you can't even say, oh yeah, they all saw this talk by so and so. You know, it was just like osmosis or advertising. I don't know. I still haven't found out the answer to that.
My theory is it looks cool. It seems to not be issue 487. People give it a try, word of mouth happens.
So yeah. So anyway, DC crushed. You know, now looking at Marvel's exciting announcements, well, surprised there weren't any. Anyway, look, I'm bagging on Marvel, but really there was a lot of chatter about how perfunctory their presentation was. And David Gabriel came, gave his presentation, he talked to some folks, hung out a little bit, and then flew home. He didn't do roundtables. He did not participate all that much, and I don't really blame him. I would probably have done the same. Like, the biggest applause that Marvel got was when, and this is very esoteric, and I had to have it explained to me, when they announced that they would no longer be putting open to order variant covers in blind bags. So basically, what that means is, you know, everybody's got 50 variant covers for every issue. And let's say you're putting out the new issue of Ghost Rider, and there is a Mark Spears variant cover, but the retailer can order it. It's open to order, right? Okay. So he orders 15 copies of this Mark Spears cover, and you go to the comic shop, you buy it, and you go home. Now they have these blind bags for Ghost Rider, for instance, and then you're supposed to get some rare, very, you know, common different levels of rarity. And then you open it up. Surprise, it's the Mark Spears that you already bought. So I talked to several retailers who said
Very
they've literally
annoying.
seen this happen where one of their customers buys the blind bag and opens it. And it's like, it's the one I already have, you know. So anyway, the room applauded, like, oh, you're gonna put special things in blind bags. That's great. So I mean, I don't know if anyone from Marvel actually listens to this podcast. You know, my DMs are open if you do, if you want to rebut, but I mean, I
She's on
know a
Blue
lot.
Sky at Comics Ace.
I'm on Blue Sky at Comics Ace. My DMs are open. They're open on Twitter too. I know everyone who listens to this because I get a comment afterwards sometimes. And I don't know if anyone from Marvel actually listens to this. So anyway, there was a lot of concern over Marvel. There was a lot of concern over they're not, Ultimates is ending. Now they extended it by 2 months. Now this new Jonathan Hickman thing kind of petered out and they're doing Doctor Doom for Doomsday. Marvel's real problem is that the MCU has reached its end of its this life cycle. It's this cycle. The MCU will be around forever, but
But
this cycle is done.
yeah, and also I would say there are reasons why that's more problematic than it needs to be. Because they were doing this thing where they were quasi linking it to the movies and kind of not, where it would be not in the same universe, but they'd try to piggyback on the vibes of the movie. And that often was a turnoff for pre-existing fans who like the pre-existing vibes. And could be frustrating to movie fans who would think they were getting the movie thing, and then they get something sort of like the movie thing. But in any event, you were at least getting people who are like riding on the movie vibes. And now that the movie vibes are not so strong, but it wasn't as
Well, I
freestandingly
mean,
driven as it used to be,
yeah, but I mean,
it just needs to get back under its own steam.
I mean, that's not, I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, the box office for the
No,
MCU
well, yeah,
is
but that's
going
what I'm
down and
saying is
down and down.
when the box up, because the two are linked in people's minds now, because they had been linking them vibes wise for a while and promotionally for a while, that, the box office goes down and maybe some of the enthusiasm for the comics goes down until the comics can reestablish their own separate identity a little better again.
And they're not going to do this with really very mid-level work that no one is really excited about. Now, that said, they're still the number one publisher month after month after month after month, so they don't really need to do anything. But if
Well,
Marvel
but
were doing what
I was going to say, I don't think a company owned by Disney has no ambition.
So Marvel, get your act together. Do something fun and exciting so that we can really get
Just
excited. Do
try
something like
something, roll the
do
dice.
but I mean do something like Unstable Molecules. The funny thing is they are doing some really exciting stuff over at Abrams. Alex Ross is doing a graphic novel based on Marvel. And as the guy from Abrams said, this is the graphic novel event of the century. He was exaggerating, but only by a little bit. Alex Ross doing an original graphic novel about Marvel, that's pretty big. Big news.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm going to run down a couple of other little stories that happen at the show, just that I thought were super newsworthy, and then we could talk about some other things because Dark Horse definitely had some cool things. They actually are bringing, speaking of Jonathan Hickman, super duper hot from Ultimates, everything he did at Marvel, but he's kind of not there anymore. And he is doing his Three Worlds, Three Moons shared science fiction imprint in print from Dark Horse. And I guess it's never been in print before. Like, this is one of those Substack comics that launched. And also, Dark Horse had something else, and I'm going to have to look it up. But let me see what else was going on there. So Boom is going to do the make their line returnable, even like just but the regular variant covers, like the cover A, all right, if you're into that. Now, those will all be returnable. I think that's a really great move.
Will cover
And then there were
be returnable?
no, only cover A. But only the main cover, okay? Even only the main cover. And let me see. There was also a lot of team ups, like we mentioned, and one of them is that Panic Entertainment, which is kind of a little small boutique horror publisher, is going to be published by Rocket Ship, and I guess presumably also go under their listing in Lunar, because that is really, getting into Lunar is really the thing, because they will not handle literally hundreds of small publishers the way Diamond did. It turns out Diamond was really floating a whole industry, cottage industry of indie publishers. So,
Yeah. I mean, the problem is if you're trying to be, as Diamond was, almost a monopoly, it means that you have to take everybody. And there were eras before the Diamond quasi-monopoly, and I suspect they're starting to happen again, where some sort of mini distributors pop up to help the smaller publishers. But I mean, that whole ecosystem change to make room for and come up with efficient and practical ways for the smaller guys to get into the biz, that all needs to be worked out again.
Yes, exactly. So, another company, well, there's Massive Indies, which is another kind of, sub distributor that is distributing through Lunar. And then also Prana Distribution. Well, Prana Mark Publisher Services is the name of the company, run by Adam Freeman. And they are also taking on publishers, and they're not distributing them, but they are facilitating them to be in the Lunar catalog, right? Like they're just streamlining it, so it's not so much work on
So they're
Lunar.
like a
And
fulfillment house, kind of?
no, not at all. No, they're like Massive Indies. I need to talk to them more and find out exactly what it is, because they're a little bit vague on it. But they will just put to, like they will collect the listings, they will collect the information, they will collect the metadata, and they will send it through to Lunar, I believe. And then so it's kind of a subdirectory, I guess you would say, because that's just the thing. It's like Lunar does not have the facilities to handle all of the. The metadata alone has, 100 fields. So it's like they just don't have the bandwidth to do every little publisher. So having Prana kind of facilitate it takes a lot of the work off of them. But they also have to be very picky about who they pick and choose. So yeah. But I think they also go with Universal, by the way. That Prana also works with Universal on that. And I hope I have that right. You know what? We need to have Adam Freeman on this podcast.
Yeah, it'd
We
be
keep
great.
saying, because I've been on his podcast, and Kate is, listen, Kate has all the podcasting smarts, okay? She's the one who's always like, we should do this and we should do that. And she's like, we
Kate
should
has a
have other
podcast
pod.
addiction and has had a podcast addiction since before this show, which is why this show
Yes.
exists.
Yes. Well, yes, she is why the show exists. And God bless. So thank you very much. That
Well,
was
I didn't mean it
a
that. I
good.
meant more like I have
No,
a
I mean,
habit.
thank you. Thank you for doing it. You made us do it, and you were right. You were 100% right. Anyway, we should have Adam on here, because we cross promote the podcast. So let's get Adam on
Absolutely.
here to talk. Adam, I know you do listen to the podcast once in a while. So the challenge is on. So okay, now one of the other big deals of the Comics Pro was Robert Kirkman's keynote speech, where he talked about the success, obviously, of Invincible, and but also that the book almost got canceled, but it kept on. And the book is 20 years old, but the characters weren't really household names.
No.
Attila got an Amazon animated series, and now they are
That'll do
household
it.
names. And
But he
his
kept on
mess
keeping on until it was. He didn't
he
let it
did,
go.
and he said, this is, I think we have we talked about this. I'm obsessed with the idea of why can't we launch a new character in comics anymore? And he said the same thing. He's like, we need to be more supportive of new things. How are we going to have the new if we don't support it? And to that
Yeah, I
line,
mean,
they are
that was actually
doing.
brought up in the Kodansha article that just came out in Publishers Weekly, that like they have this initiative where they have money set aside for people who are starting something new that they think is worthy.
Yeah.
Like new
And listen,
creator grants.
amazing. Amazing. I mean, listen, yeah, American, you have to work out the ownership and all that. But the thing is, and granted, this is part of the time when the ownership of characters, people now don't want to give up their characters. That said, I was having dinner with some comics folk. We're talking about getting into comics, and one of them says, "Yeah, mine was Firestorm. When Firestorm number one came out, I read it and I just loved the character." Now, you might not believe this if you're a millennial or younger, but when I was a kid, Marvel and DC would put launch new superheroes all the time. They're like, "Oh, we're good." I was going to say Spider-Woman. It's a little derivative. But yeah, they would do Night Thrasher and they would do
Well,
Firestorm.
they will occasionally, even now, still sort of put them in the background of other people's books, but there's no big push, right? To be fair, you can go too far into the other direction. You can do the Sentry and like make it into kind of an unintentional joke where it's like, this character you've never heard of before is now everyone's secret best friend. It can be overdone, but a little bit of a juice behind a new character, a little bit of a push. Like, I haven't seen one make a huge, huge splash since the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle.
Yeah, or Ms. Marvel. I mean, people
Or
pointed out
Ms.
Ms.
Marvel,
Marvel.
too. Ms. Marvel, and
Yeah,
Wendy, she's a legacy because she's also Ms. Marvel. There was already a Ms. Marvel. But
yes,
even so,
there
and
was a
so was
Ms.
Blue Beetle.
Marvel.
But like,
Yes.
even the legacy spinoffs are few and far between that they're getting the push.
Yeah, I mean, they mentioned Miles Morales. I mean, he's Spider-Man of a different universe.
Yeah,
And
you've got
the
like
last
three, not that
truly
many.
new character, yeah, the last truly new original character to launch and really do well was Jeff the Land Shark. But I think he was
Who?
popular be Jeff the Land Shark. I guess you don't follow Marvel because he is hot. I
I
think one
think
of the
he's not
reasons,
in my particular
yes, I
areas
think
of
he
it.
was in Marvel Rivals. It's also
That
one of
would
the
make
reasons, like he
sense.
was used in one of the games, and that really helped him get popular. But
Yeah, I'm not a
he's
video game person,
yeah,
so that would explain it.
he has a lot of web, like they have this whole online or webtoon original Jeff Landshark series,
I'll have to
actually.
check it
I mean, they've
out.
done a lot of Jeff the Landshark stuff, so I think you
Well, good
might
for
like it,
them,
actually. It's
but
pretty
it's just
humorous.
like you could do more. You could do more. I'm glad for
You
the
could
Jeff
do
the
more,
Land
but I mean,
Shark.
why do you, what? Yeah. Do you, I mean, do you think, I mean, we also had one of my writers at the Beat, Adam Barnhart, talk about he is kickstarting a whole brand new superhero universe and, with his friends, and they're just building it from the ground up, and they love superheroes and they're having a great time and they reach their goal and, God bless. I mean, who knows? I mean, anything could happen. Adam, I mean, maybe your
But
character would be.
I read his think piece in the Beat about how he's aware this is a particularly difficult route to get books published. And he's right, it is. Right? Like, I'm not saying he's wrong to do it. He's making the point that if you really love superheroes, you don't want to spend years of your life writing things you don't care about. And I think that's fair. If you care about superheroes, you should write superheroes, even if Marvel and DC won't let you in the door. But there have been, it's just very, very hard to break in with a new superhero if you aren't either a big name or with the big two.
But it
Because
can't be
it.
done anymore. That's my whole point.
What?
I mean, it can't be done anymore with a character who isn't a derivative character. Like, who is the, like you just mentioned, Sentry.
Sentry was terrible.
Yeah, I just, I am I freezing for you? Because I'm freezing for
Yes, you
me. Can you
are.
hear me?
Yeah,
Oh,
I can hear you, but you are getting a little.
okay.
Don't
You
worry
know what?
about
Let me
it.
close. Let me close Chrome. That ought to help. Yes, there we go. Let's quit. I have about 80 tabs. Sorry, listeners. Technical difficulties.
Podcasters,
But
they're just like us.
the point is that it doesn't happen anymore. The last new characters that were launched were like Deadpool and Harley Quinn 25 years ago.
Well, I mean, we just mentioned some that came out after them. But even so, you're right.
But we mentioned Miles. We trust me. I've talked to a lot of people about this. We've mentioned Miles Morales and Ms. Marvel and Jeff
And
the
Jaime
Landshark.
Reyes, yeah.
Yeah, and Jaime Reyes. That's a good one from DC. Yes, that should also be mentioned. Yes.
But like that's, yeah, there's. So yeah, it's hard to get a new one in both in the big two, but at the same time, like,
I mean,
People who want
Marvel.
superheroes are usually buying it from the big two. So it's harder to not seem like you're the store brand. Oh, we have superheroes at home, superheroes. If you're not from one of the big two. So that's like
Well,
why the boys had to like have their own gimmick, or like
right.
various things need their own gimmick in order to try to break through. Or you're Robert Kirkman and you're like, I'm just gonna fight it out until I get an
Yeah.
Amazon show.
Well, in a contrast to our Adam Barnhart, Robert Kirkman is doing Terminal with co-written by Joe Casey with art by David Finch, Adam Kubert, and the shocking return to interior art, Art Adams. He hasn't done inside comic book art in, a thousand years. So I think Terminal's going to do okay. We'll see.
We'll
God
see.
bless. I hope it does succeed. I think we need new characters. One of the
Yeah.
things is what you just said about Kodansha. It's like if I was 17 or 18 years old or younger, 12, 13, 14, whatever, if I was a kid getting into comics, I would want my character that spoke to my life and my times, right? An absolute Batman does that, right? But why can't we create a new character that does that the way manga does all the time?
Well, a lot of people do, but not in superheroes. And superheroes are something that people still love. They're not actually irrelevant. People do still want them. Young people do still want them. And I think, I had some friends who gave me this whole spiel once, and I was like, you guys are absolutely right. That the last time around, about the era when they were bringing in Kamala Khan, she didn't fit into this because they did it right with her, and that's why she's still there. But they did a whole thing where they would knock out the legacy character and then make up a new character to fill the role and would be like, don't you want this new character? But because they were specifically positioned as, don't you want this new thing instead of this old character, they unintentionally made people hate the new character.
Well,
Whereas
I
if you
think.
had brought them in not as a replacement, as a, well, you just have to take this new one and like it, you can't have the old one, but instead brought in new characters as well and didn't intentionally set up this conflict, that, like maybe you could set yourself up for success instead of failure.
Well, but I, Kate, I think we're leading a very important thing. It's like Marvel did that a lot. DC did it to a lesser extent, but Marvel went really heavy on it. And almost always the new character was a female or a person of color. They
Right.
had the Korean Hulk, Amadeus Cho. They had Riri, the new
Well,
Ironheart.
the
They
nice thing
had.
about Amadeus Cho was pre-existing and thankfully had an identity other than Hulk, so he could stick around. But a lot of them didn't.
Yeah,
And it was
but he
almost
did.
self-sabotaging.
Yes, but I play Marvel Strike Force, which if you play that, all these characters are still around. So, I think they did, but there was huge pushback from, the forces
Yeah.
of anti-woke against these
But the
characters,
see, thing
and they
is
were all
that,
additive.
yeah, it's additive. It's additive because yes, you get the anti-woke, but you're also courting dislike from people who are open to a female character, to a character of color. They just don't want them instead of the
Yes.
characters they already like.
Yes.
And by doing that, like switcheroo thing, they made a conflict where one didn't have to be. And they put people in the mind of like, well, new things mean the old things have to go away and you're wrong for liking your old stuff. And it's like,
Right.
doesn't
Well,
need to be like that in comics. There's room for a million superheroes.
Dan DiDio, before he left DC under unclear circumstances, he was trying to do the same thing. He was introducing a new generation, younger generation of the legacy characters, including the gay Superboy, right? The queer Superboy. And that obviously a lot of people were upset about. And I give props to Marvel and DC. I mean, they were doing the right thing and
They
didn't
were
always
doing the
get.
right thing the wrong way. And I would think it
Yes,
was well-intentioned. It's just that we can learn from that and say, hey, we don't need to set the old fans against the new fans. We don't need to set the new characters against the old characters. We can bring in the new and keep the old. There's no reason this needs to be a conflict.
And I mean, but I mean, I'll just tell you again, as a, long time comics reader, when I was a kid, there would be a new number one and it would be a brand new character. And you were like, oh my God, who is this? And you would be excited to go to the 7-Eleven and buy the new character and then hopefully continue. And some of them didn't last,
And
but
some of
some of
them
them were a
did.
big success. Some of them did. So, I'm just saying it's a completely different mindset. And I hope Robert Kirkman is correct. And I hope that this is the start of people being open to newness and new creativity because we have all these new readers and we need to give them something that is for them, like something that is new and original and created for their generation. And I mean, I'm, this is ageist to me to say, but I mean, people, let some kids do some cool things. I'm all down for kids.
Comics
Let some
are for
kids.
everyone.
They're for
When
everyone,
people are
including
like, oh,
kids.
comics are not just for kids anymore, it's like, yeah, but they should be for kids too.
Yes.
Right? It
So
shouldn't
anyway,
just be the guy who has like a million copies of Legion of Superheroes. It should be all of us.
Yes. So anyway, I've said enough. I'm going to say one more little thing about my visit to the Kirby Show. But Kate, what else is
Please.
going on in the world of comics?
Okay. Well, sorry, I wasn't aware we were at this point yet. Speaking of, new and different things, Seven Seas is launching a new imprint. Now, they haven't given all the details yet, but they have announced when they were having sort of all these announcements of Girls Love titles and Yuri titles, that they would be starting a Baihi line. So that's the Girls Love equivalent of Danmai, the Chinese boys love. And there's been demand, but there really hasn't been a publisher in the market in English doing it. They brought out like one title, The Beauty's Blade, last year, and people were just holding their breath, but they're giving it its own imprint. They're not just going to publish one or two books. There's room in the market. People are excited. I'm excited. We'll see how that goes. And that's not the only new news from Seven Seas. So remember how the last time we talked, listeners, we were talking about Batoto and how there's a demand for sort of an all-you-can-eat model for some of these webtoons and light novels that are coming out of not just Japan, but also Korea and China. Well, Global Comics is partnering with Seven Seas, and Seven Seas will be putting a bunch of their titles to be available on Global Comics' All You Can Eat. So these have huge hits. I'm in Love with a Villainess, Skeleton Knight in Another World, and Grandmaster of Demonic Cultivation, Modao Zushi, among others. As of right now, already, Global Comics members on the gold tier have access to more than 50 titles from Seven Seas, and then over 1,000 are available for purchase. So this is great. Because this means that not the only way to get your hands on this is not necessarily to either A, be in the store, or B, pay for it by finished works in drips and drabs on an app where the prices can add up. This
Well,
is great.
it's interesting because there's actually a thread on Reddit today where someone is like, I'm done with digital comics. And they're just complaining about the fact that, they are the same price as print comics. And, with Comixology kind of going away and all these, like Dark Horse, they said Dark Horse is when I tapped out. So basically, Dark Horse had their own digital comics platform, digital comics store. And Then last year, they're like, yep, that's it, we're done. And you couldn't even export your comics. So people are tired of paying $5 to rent something. And they're saying these all you can eat Netflix of comics is the answer. So I think comics, digital comic subscription services are probably going to be a thing.
Yeah, the
Like how it
question is just, can
how it
they get enough of
evolves,
the good
how it
stuff in?
evolves. Yes,
And
correct.
I mean, my hope is that like Tapas and Webtoon, they already have the library, man, that they will allow a subscription tier option as well as their pre-existing model. Hey, I don't have a horse in this race. I like their pre-existing model because I'm the kind of person who will just read a free episode every day, and I can put up with that. But I understand if you're a binge reader, that's very frustrating and you don't want to have to pay to binge read. I get it. All you can eat is definitely a model they should pursue. I look forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very interesting.
So, points to Global Comics and Seven Seas. I think this could be like a big way forward. Because
Yeah.
if you feel like you're already renting it, even though they tell you you're buying it, you want to just rent it.
Well, I mean, we've just seen so many fails.
Well, yes, but also you have things like Kindle over the last year, and this is why I've mostly switched to Kobo, changed their terms from you are buying this ebook to you are licensing this ebook from us, and we could change it or take it away at any time, and you can't download it to a separate hard drive. Which is their right, but if you're gonna go that model, then don't be surprised that people are like, maybe I want to buy something I can keep or rent something more cheaply.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's more to come on that for sure because we're
Oh,
seeing all
yeah.
these new platforms emerging and who will be king? Who which cuisine will reign supreme? The Bachelorette. It's the Bachelorette of the Bachelor of digital comics platforms.
Yeah, so would you say that Tapas is the Bachelorette and so far, and Webtoon is the Bachelor?
I have never watched an episode of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, so I can't even comment on that.
They're gendered, but otherwise the same thing.
No, but I'm just saying, I know there's a lot of fans and lore, and you know what? Let's go on with the briefs, Kim.
Right, who cares?
I don't want to talk about The Bachelor.
Neither do I.
I was trying to be hip and contemporary, and it backfired on me.
All right, so on to the briefs. So, listeners, if you tuned into a recent episode, you may be aware that China and Japan are not getting along a whole lot right now, and this is making the lives of Chinese anime fans difficult. Previously at the with just several days' notice at China's biggest Comic-Con, people were told you cannot dress as a Japanese character. Not allowed. Chinese characters only. Big bummer for the cosplayers who were not prepared. And now the Chinese government is officially registering their disapproval of Pokemon.
Good luck with that.
They are upset that, okay, so an independent Pokemon group set up a Pokemon tournament at, admittedly this is tacky, Yasukuni Shrine, the extremely controversial shrine to the Japanese war dead, which is linked to militarism and a certain amount of xenophobia. Okay, fine. But because the Chinese government doesn't seem to like understand like things not being under heavy control. They got mad at Pokemon as a whole and the company and publishing of Pokemon for the fact that they allowed there to be an official Pokemon tournament at Yasukuni Shrine. So the Chinese government like demanded an apology from Pokemon, which they got. And also made noises about how maybe Pokemon is not a patriotic thing to like if you're Chinese because there was a Pokemon tournament at a war shrine. Hopefully, things will not get any messier than that
So
for
I
Chinese Pokemon or anime fans.
mean, I was at Toy Fair also, and which listeners, I wrote a whole big long article about it for the Beat, so I'm not going to go into it here because we're out of time. But I was told that Pokemon is the number one toy brand or the number one brand, or they said it was, you hear number one this or number one that, but I heard that a couple times that Pokemon is very, 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 very popular right now, so.
Well, it's a franchise with an infinite number of cute little animals and games to play with the cute little animals, so no, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, correct. Catch them all. All right, how are we doing for time here?
Well, I think we should wrap things up because
Okay.
we're getting close to time. We're not
Okay.
there,
And
but we're getting close to time.
so listeners, because of our new setup, I don't have a clock in front of me that tells me how long we've been recording. So I just asked
Right.
Kate how long we've been recording. I'm sorry about
Yeah, we're
that. I'm
currently
sorry.
around 50 some minutes.
We're showing you so much of our behind the scenes, but we hope it's more endearing to you than off-putting. So, but I
Well,
do.
hey, if anybody here works at Zoom, consider adding an optional timer that people can run in the corner of their screen. It would be awesome.
There might be an option. I'm going to look into that myself. But anyway, so I want to shout out when I was in LA. I had planned I was going to go. I was in LA after Comic-Con, but I was too exhausted, and I said it's going to be open until Comics Pro. So I'm going to go to the Jack Kirby show at the Skirball Center. Now it closes this weekend. It is the last weekend. If you are listening to this and you live in LA and you love Jack Kirby and have not been, you must go. You must go. You must go. You must go. So actually, what I really want to say is you must go because it is so great and it is a really wonderful. They have Jack Kirby's army uniform there, his actual uniform. They have family photos, they have his artwork, incredible, incredible artwork. It really is a wonderful, just truly wonderful tribute to his genius. They have a whole X-Men story, like the whole artwork of it up on the wall. And so many generous people donated to this event, and I want to say who the curators are, but I'm not going to mess it up, so I'm not going to. We'll have to put it in the notes to this edition. But anyway, I know Patrick Reed was involved, and then he is the co-curator. But it was just wonderful to see this show. And I go to a lot of art shows for artists, and sometimes. Like painters, even some great painters, you go see a show of your work and you're like, boy, they really just stayed in their lane, man. And with Kirby, I mean, it's not a huge show, but it was so interesting, is what I guess I'm trying to say. It's like all of it was interesting. All of it showed different ways that he approaches art, how his art evolved. And it's just wonderful to see him get this kind of tribute, and he deserves more. I hope it travels. I hope it comes to New
Yeah, I
York
was
because
just
it is
thinking that
great.
myself. I was about to say, like, I hope they put this show on the road because I'd really love to see it.
Well, I don't know about that, but for sure, there's going to be the street named after Jack Kirby, which is a very prominent Delancey, and now I'm forgetting the cross streets, but it is very, 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 very prominent, and you go there all the time at Delancey and Essex. It's right where the Essex Market is. It's Jack Kirby's getting one of the best corners in New York City,
Oh,
named
so they're
after
giving him a
him.
corner. Okay.
Well, the street, they're naming the street after him.
Which one?
Delancey and Essex.
Delancey is one street and Essex is the other. Which one's becoming
I think
Jack
it's
Kirby?
Essex. It's Essex.
Okay.
We talked about this on the podcast before. Maybe we didn't, did we?
Not this part of it. We've talked about the temporary one and how there was a push for a permanent one.
Yeah, well, you're right. In our it happened during our hiatus, so I apologize for that because that's one of the biggest stories of the year for me. Anyway, my understanding is that the street naming is coming in the spring, I believe April or May, and well, as soon as we know it, we're going to let you know.
All right, there will be more to come on that.
Yes, for sure. And we will be back. We promise we will be continuing. We're going to have more interviews. We're going to have more guest stars. And Kate and I will plunge in and just keep listening because there will be more.
to
Come.
come.
Is everything okay, Kate?
My mother's coming into the room. One minute.
Oh,